Well, I'm very pleased to say now I'm joined by Mark Moisley, who is the new, relatively new, commercial director at the GBGB. I think you've been there about a month, Mark. So thank you very much for talking to us. First of all,
pleasure.
I guess, how's it going is the first question.
Very good, very busy. Yeah, it's just over a month now. It feels longer already. It's been great to get out and about and get to a lot of the traps, meet a lot of the people involved in the sport, from promoters, owners, trainers, just trying to get a good background on people's thoughts, try and get some of my ideas across to people and hopefully they can take them on board, particularly with the promoters, because it's keen, obviously, from my perspective, which is all about trying to drive more revenue into the sport, that they're on board with those ideas. So that's been a key thing for me in the early days.
For those who don't know your background, I know that it's extensive when it comes to sport. Fill us in on what you've been doing in your career so far and how that may be relevant to your current position.
Sure, yeah. Well, I've been fortunate. I've been in sport now for about 20 years. Very, very passionate. Love my sport. Always have done. And I worked at a couple of football clubs, so Sunderland, and I was chief executive at Oldham Athletic, which is a tough gig. Lower league football's hard. I know every sport thinks they've got the problems, but certainly lower league football is a tough one because of the lack of money around the sport. So I think that's possibly good grounding, good experience. Hopefully what I can bring is some of the knowledge that I've gained over the last 20 years. It's primarily been commercial roles that I've had. I've also worked at a governing body previously, which hopefully helped as well. So yeah, bringing all that together, that was the reason for being successful, I think, in getting the role. And one thing I think it's very important for me in the role is to make sure that my focus stays very much on the remit of trying to drive revenue through the different ways that we've got to look at through the sport. As you know, there's obviously an awful lot of things going on, and I get contacted already from various people about many different aspects of the sport. But I've got to be quite clear in sort of my role and make sure that we continue to be focused on the reason that this role has been created and not get dragged into other areas, because I'll obviously be measured on the success or otherwise of what I can achieve.
What was your knowledge and experience of greyhound racing before you took this role?
Yeah, not massive. I mean, I've not been taken on because I can list the last 10 Derby winners by any stretch of the imagination. Hopefully I've been brought on because of the commercial knowledge that I've got. But look, I love all my sports, and certainly I've followed greyhound racing as an aficionado by any means, but I've been to greyhound meetings. My first one was way back at Craven Park in Hull, which is no longer there, obviously. I live in York, so Doncaster is relatively local for me. And I'd also been down to places like Wimbledon. So I've been around, I've been to a few tracks, and obviously I'm increasing that much more as the time goes on now I've got the role.
Well, now you're really familiarising yourself with the sport. And I know it's only been a short period of time you've been in the position, but what have you made of the industry? What have your initial impressions been?
The overriding one for me is the absolute passion for the industry from people. You know, you can look at the negatives that people talk about, and of course there are difficulties facing the sport. There's difficulties facing every sport at the moment, particularly because of the COVID situation. But the passion that comes through from the people that I've spoken to, and you know, I've spoken to a good cross section of people across all levels of the sport, and that's the one thing that really, really stands out for me is that passion for it. And if we can really harness that and pull people together and get people working together, we've seen it successfully a couple of times on things like the welfare initiatives that have been brought in, where everybody's worked very hard across the sport to bring those in. But also with the fact that, you know, we were the first sport to be back live after the shutdown. And I think that was great testament to everybody involved. So we've shown we can do it when everybody pulls together. And I think we just need to try and work harder on that and do more of that. We've got some great things within this sport, and we've got to try and push that forward.
When you first took on this role, you were quoted as saying that you thought it was a thriving sport, and I think you got a bit of backlash for that. Is it something that you stand by, or do you regret saying that?
Look, like I just said, I think there's an awful lot of positives in the sport, and yes, people talk about some of the negatives, but you can talk about negatives in any walk of life at the moment, never mind greyhound racing, never mind sport in general. What we've got to look at very much is the positive things within the sport, and there are a huge amount of positives in the sport. And like I say, the biggest single one for me is that real passion that people have. And yes, people, you know, particularly on social media, we see a lot of people talking about different aspects, and you can take that in a negative fashion, but actually the reason that people are talking about those things is because they want the sport to improve, and they've got a real feeling for the sport. And there's very, very few people that are actually doing things because they want to be negative. They don't. They want sport to improve, and if we look at things in the right way, and we work together and we communicate better. I think that's something that I think is a fair comment that's been criticised from us in the past. If we're better at that, and like I say, we can collaborate more and get people working together. Again, my remit is very much on the revenue side of it. I'm not here to solve all the ills by any stretch of the imagination, but if we can certainly drive more revenue in, that can be a benefit to everybody.
You can see why people might not agree with you. It's a thriving sport, though, when you've got tracks closing, prize money in some areas particularly is very poor, open race money is going down. You can see why people might have disagreed that it's a thriving sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. Of course I can. But I've got to try and work with, like I say, with the positives in the sport. We're trying to bring some new sponsors on board. We're trying to bring more of the bookmakers on board that aren't paying into the levy at the moment. We're trying to work more with the bookmakers that are on board. So we've got an awful lot that we want to do, and we're currently working with our PR agency to put a video and a presentation deck together, because there's an awful lot of good things we can say about the sport, and maybe we just don't do that often enough.
Very true. You've been pretty brave and you've gone on social media, Twitter in particular, and you're in a difficult position when it comes to defending yourself, actually. And social media can be a difficult medium to make yourself clear as well. Do you feel like there's a lot of anger directed towards the GBGB, and do you think that's fair?
Well, I think primarily most of the comments that are out there on Twitter are people that just want to see the sport improved. It's as simple as that. All right, yeah, you get one or two of the keyboard worries, and in all honesty, I'll just ignore those, because, you know, that I'm not going to waste my time on those sort of people. But I've engaged with people that are really wanting to see improvements in the sport and wanting it to be better. And I've also had conversations with them. It's not just been on Twitter. And I'm more than happy to do that, because this comes back to improving our communication. And if we can do that and people can see what we're working towards, and we're more transparent with what we're working towards, then I do believe that can only be a benefit for the sport.
So, Mark, you've explained to us that a massive part of your remit is to get extra revenue into Greyhound Racing, which is much, much needed. Do you think at the moment we rely too heavily on bookmakers?
Well, we do. That's the way that the sport is structured at the moment. But obviously, the levy that we get through that is a huge amount. So clearly, that's very important for us. I know that people would like to see that increase, and of course, that's something that would be an ideal. But there are lots of other ways that we can try to bring revenue through the sport. We look at, for example, at the number of bookmakers and online companies that are offering ground racing that are not paying into the levy. And really, each and every one of those in reality should be. So that's something we're working on. We've got one that we're just literally in the process of putting a press release together to announce. So that's great, because it's another one to add into the mix. And that one came about because they wanted to do some sponsorship in the sport. And quite simply, we said, well, they've got to be paying into the levy, which I believe is the right way to go. It's not fair on those that are paying in if another company comes along and does a lot of sponsorship that are not paying in. So that's great. They're coming on board. They want to do sponsorship. We're going to work closely with them for that. And hopefully there are more opportunities out there to get one or two more in that situation as well.
Do you think we are too insular as an industry, though? Where else do you see potential revenue coming from if we look outside of bookmakers?
Yeah, we do. We have to look outside, because we've got to try and get that extra revenue. And you've got to look. I think there's two things for me. One is to look at the sectors that actually have performed quite well during the recent difficulties financially, because there are still some sectors that have performed well in that. And also looking at the industries that are already involved in ground racing, but not necessarily supporting it through sponsorship. So there are two areas, and we're already having conversations with companies in some of those sectors. Very positive conversations. I'm really hopeful that one or two of those can come to fruition. Of course, not everything will. Sometimes you need a bit of luck as well. We'll be looking for companies that not necessarily been involved in ground racing before, but have got a reason to become involved. And we've got to listen to them. That's so, so important to find out what they're wanting. You know, gone are the days when you can just contact companies and say, would you like to sponsor this? And they'll say yes and take a table at a meet. You know, it just doesn't work like that. You've got to now listen to sponsors, find out what they're looking for. Are they doing a rebrand of a product? Are they wanting some national exposure that potentially we can offer throughout all the 18 tracks and 19, hopefully, when Shawfield gets back open? So are they wanting to do something locally? Do they have a new branch opening, for example? There's different things. Unless we're listening to what they want, and unless we're then in a position to to be able to offer different types of inventory to them, it won't work. So we've got to be very clear with what we can offer to them, and hence the reason I want to work very closely with the Drat. But also, we've got to understand what they want. And once we marry the two together, we're hopefully in a position to take advantage of it and get some more sponsorship through.
You mentioned through the recent COVID situation, some companies undoubtedly have benefited, but I'd say across the board, probably more companies have not benefited. So it's probably a very difficult, challenging time for you to come in as commercial director, to be fair. But there's other challenges as well. So when you're approaching external sponsors, do you notice other maybe pushback or challenges, perhaps around welfare? Are companies concerned about that side of the sport or anything else?
Yes, it is something that's raised, certainly as welfare, but I think thankfully we're in such a good position now in terms of the work that's gone on in regards to the welfare. We're not where we were 5-10 years ago. We're in a much stronger position. We've got documentary evidence to show how successful the work on the welfare side of it has been from everybody across the sport. And so it's good that we've actually got tangible evidence there that we can push back with on that and actually show it as a strength because of the work that's gone into it. So I'm not unduly concerned on that side of things at all, because I think we can evidence that when we're speaking to companies.
Do you think that we're proud enough of the product?
No, I don't. I don't, in all honesty. I think we're passionate enough, and I think people absolutely love the sport. But I think we could do more about banging the drum and about just, you know, highlighting the positive side of the sport. And everybody talks about wanting to attract a new audience. Of course we do. You know, we'd like to get more footfall across all the tracks and try and support and assist the tracks in trying to do so. Once, of course, they're all back open and restrictions are lifted. But I think we do have to be better in terms of our communication on that. We've got to be more engaging. If we want to get a new, younger audience, then yes, social media is clearly hugely important, but the content on that has to be right. And we've got to be better at it. I think it's quite simple. We have to be better at doing that.
Do you think that's something that the GBGB can do better then in terms of PR and communication?
Yeah, I think there's always room for improvement in that. And I think communication is absolutely vital. And, you know, we work closely with a PR company and I'd like to be doing more with them. And if I go back to what something we mentioned earlier, 1st of June, we were the first sport to be out there. The 1st of June, we had, 4 hours of our free-to-air TV on the evening. I'm not sure enough was made of that. People actually realised that live sport was back on and that they could watch that. People within the sport, yes, but we want people outside of the sport. We want that new audience. So we've got to be a bit smarter with what we do, and we've got to make sure that we're engaging very much with the people that are already involved in the sport, because there's a danger that because they've not been able to visit Drat over the last 5 or 6 months that they can drift away. So we've got to make sure they're engaged. But equally, we've got to get out there and try and attract that new audience as well.
It's always good when somebody new comes into the sport, like yourself, and in my experience, I went greyhound racing in Australia, the people that come into the governing bodies there, they're not necessarily greyhound racing lovers, they're experts in their field, and I think that's really beneficial. But on your part, coming into the sport, has anything sort of hit you in the face that you would change?
Well, I do think it can be a benefit, having that fresh pair of eyes, so to speak. One thing I mentioned there about perhaps we didn't make enough of having the free-to-air TV on that 1st of June. I think that was possibly because people within the sport obviously know all about it. And sometimes it takes a fresh pair of eyes, say, well, hang on a second. Not everybody's aware of this. So we should be making more of it. So I think there can be advantages to having that fresh pair of eyes. But you're absolutely right. You know, the reason I was brought in was because I've got experience of working on the commercial side, particularly of sport. And hopefully that I can bring some of that knowledge and experience to this and be successful. It certainly won't be for the want of trying. I'll be out there doing everything I can, and that's the reason I've out and about to date, and I've been across 10 tracks so far, and I've got another couple this week. I'll be at Crayford tomorrow, and it'll be nice to see them opening their doors for the first time. I was at Yarmouth last month when they had a crowd in, and obviously it makes such a difference. So it's great that Sheffield as well opened up on Saturday. So we're starting to get there. There are some green shoots coming through now. We're starting to get some of the tracks open. And obviously the quicker we can get all of them open, the better. And let's really try and make as much as we can of that. Once we've got the restrictions lifted, who knows when that will be. But hopefully we can do as much as we can to help the tracks in working with their local councils to get people back in numbers. And then we've got to try and build on that. And it's all about trying to move the sport forward. Let's try and look at the positives, like I've said. And really try and push the sport forward over the coming months.
if you do manage to be successful in your role and you do manage to get more money into the sport, do you think that can make a big difference? Is financial restrictions an issue in the sport, do you think?
Finance is massive in whatever sport you're involved in, and obviously I've seen that in roles that I've had previously. So you mentioned earlier, what are the main things that people's concerns are? Well, I think prize money is obviously one that gets talked about an awful lot, and money that's available in the sport. So anything we can do whatsoever to try and increase the revenue in terms of working with the draft and working with the promoters, and hopefully that can be a benefit to everybody within the sport.
You certainly sound very enthusiastic. I hope that lasts. My final question to you, do you think you can really make a difference to our sport?
Yes, I wouldn't have taken the role on if I didn't. You know, it's a hugely challenging role, but I obviously believe in myself and really believe that I can be successful in it, and very much hope that with the people I've met so far who've been very positive in the conversations I've had, I've got to say that. And I'm very hopeful that we can pull together and make a difference.
And your message to those people who are so passionate about the sport that are watching this?
Yeah, keep believing. We have got a great sport. You know that better than I do, in all honesty. But we will do everything we can to support everybody throughout the sport. And let's hope we can be successful in that.
Well, Mark, I wish you all the best. Hopefully the banknotes will start rolling in the not too distant future. And we'll see some improvement in that direction. But thank you very much for your time and for
being here. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate that. Good to speak to you.
You can follow Star Sports on Twitter at @StarSports_bet, our Facebook page at Star Sports Bet, and also view all our latest videos on YouTube at Star Sports. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.